Hey, welcome back. This is Union Weekly. I'm Xander.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Mr. S.
This week we have Mr. Brennan, our vice principal. We'll be discussing topics like next school year, who he is, what's happening, and let's get started.
Hi, Mr. Brandon. So you're our vice principal?
I am. Yep. It's my first year here at Union. I'm really excited to be here. Great school. And I'm coming from Granite School District and made the change and really happy I did. I think Canyons has a lot of great things going for it and I get to meet a lot of new people and work with a lot of new people. So far, it's been a great experience, and I'm excited about the years to come here.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about your background in education?
Sure thing, yeah. I spent my first years of education as a teacher. I was a CTE teacher for 8 years. Most of that time was at a school in Jordan School District, Joel P. Jensen. It was a great school. Then I went to Kearns Junior High as a counselor. I was there for 6 years and loved it out there as well. Wanted to get just some different experience in high school, so I went to Olympus High School for 3 years. Decided to get into admin, and last year I was at Kennedy Junior High in West Valley, and that brought me here. So this is, I think, maybe that adds up to about 18 years or so, but this is about my 18th year in education and love it. Learning different roles and working with different people and got a lot of experience and love working with, I do really like the junior high school ages a lot. I think that they're a lot of fun and, you know, good and bad, of course, but it's just it's a great age group that I really enjoy working with.
You have lots of experience from different perspectives.
Yes. Yep. I think it. Yep. And it's, you know, it's good because you know, I can bring knowledge and experiences to different schools, and but also it's you know, moving around that much, it's always a learning curve to come to a new school and meet a new faculty and be a part of a new community. So so yes, there's a lot of good with it, but also challenges when you come to a new school. So hopefully, you know, in the next year or so, I'll settle in and understand what goes on here a little bit more. And but it's great to be here. I've loved it so far.
Yeah, it's you and Mr. S's first year.
Yeah.
All right.
It's awesome. Yeah, love it here.
You guys are both here for the brand new school too.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice to be able to be in this new building.
It's
with air conditioning.
Yeah.
Ooh, you didn't have air conditioning the last one?
We had swamp coolers.
Oh, it's rough.
You know how well those work.
Ooh, yeah.
Especially in a 54-year-old building. Oh, nice. Yeah. Work really well.
Well, good timing on my part.
On both of you.
Yeah.
So why did you want to get into admin?
Teaching was fun. Teaching is a hard thing to do. Just getting prepared every day with lesson plans and managing 35 kids at a time. It's a hard occupation. I loved it. But I felt like, the relationships I could build with students as a counselor, I could have a better impact or a stronger impact on helping kids, which is, you know, what I really want to do with my passion. And then the more I worked in counseling and with different administrators, I was like, wow, administrators are kind of like counselors on steroids, so to speak, because they can do so much more. And I worked with a lot of great administrators and one in particular at Kearns Junior High that I just like, man, I want to be him. Like, he has a great rapport and relationship with students and has a huge impact on them. And then that's what made me decide to go into administration. So that was the decision behind that. And so far, so good. I'm happy with the choice.
Nice.
What has been your favorite position as a in the education?
I would say, I mean, this is great. I love Canyons. I love this new school. I've worked with a lot of great staff members at each of my school, but you know, it's hard to say this is my absolute favorite right now, but this is way up there. I think I've had a great experience here. It's just hard as a first year to really, you know, to say that, but I feel good about this being one of my favorite jobs, and I'm glad I'm here. And yeah, as I said, hopefully I just keep learning and getting better. You know, even though I'm an old man and been around for a long time, you still want to improve and get better every day. So hopefully that's what I do. And I love it here. So I'll say this is the best. This is the best spot.
So far in your first year here at Union, what's been some of your favorite, I guess, highlights?
Highlights
of your year so far.
I mean, of course, the kids. I know that sometimes I got to be the bad guy and hold kids accountable and all that. And but hopefully those kids and families understand that I'm just trying to help kids make the best decision and grow and be better, just like we all do every single day, or we need to do every day. We can all get better every day. I think the staff here, there's just so many great people that do their job, which isn't always the case, you know, so everybody's following through, everybody's supporting each other. There's a lot of great support staff at the school. So, and everybody's really personable and fun to work with. So I think that's been great. So, the people, it's always the people, right? So the kids and the staff, I think they've been fantastic. So
I think that's all of education. It's all about the people.
Absolutely. Yep. No doubt. So
yeah, it seems like you guys don't make the most, but you have you learn probably the most.
Yeah. Yep. Have a big impact.
It's a growing profession. It's one that you have to grow in. There's some where it's like you can do the same thing over and over. Not really. I mean, and you do that for 20 years and you don't really change much. But I feel like, especially in education, with how kids change over kids are different now than they were 10, 15 years ago to 50 years ago. I mean, we know that from history.
Yeah.
So throwing in a little history stuff, we know kids from the early 1900s were still working in factories. So, like, it's a different thing, and kids are evolving. Our culture is evolving. So it's a profession of growth and, I think, mm-hmm. of love, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question for both of
you. Not the money and the fame.
No, definitely not.
Question for both of you. How have you seen the education space evolve in your time?
Well, I think teachers are just asked to do more and more every year, and it's hard. And that's, I think that as an administrator, seeing that, I have a hard time asking teachers to do more. Okay, we need to do this. We need to do this. And there's, I like to implement things where it may be a little more work up front for teachers and administrators, but in the long run, takes things off their plate. So I've seen that. I think just more, the community expects more from schools and from teachers. You know, we got everything here. We got dental clinics, we have nurses, we have, you know, food, like food pantry. You know, we're teaching them, you know, six periods a day. We're just
school psychologists.
Yeah, school psychs, counselors. So we do so much.
Even got parenting classes.
Yep, parenting. Absolutely. Yep. So I just think a lot of is expected from the school, and it's great. You know, I think the schools are the hub of a community. So you know, as long as we get support from the community and the state to help with that, it's great. But you know, it's a challenge, but it's worth it.
Yeah. I think the development of different types of technology too. Like, I know, at least for me growing up and hearing from my dad, because my dad's been teaching for 30 years as well. Growing up, it was all textbooks. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's in a textbook. Hey, you need to read pages XYZ to whatever. There's questions in there. Questions 1, 2, 3 on page 94. And now with all the technology and with it just at our fingers, like, you don't really need to know, like, again, speaking from a history perspective, I mean, it's nice to know who the presidents were in order, but it's not necessary, because if you forget, you've got a phone or a watch even now that you can just look it up. And so I think the change in education I've seen a lot is just finding new ways to teach, not content really more anymore, but it's more teaching skills. I know in the past couple of days in my class, we've been doing a lot of investigative research, and while I'm not teaching you the content, and we're not doing it for content's sake, we're teaching you to investigate while using the War of 1812, Louisiana Purchase. Today we're talking about Jacksonian democracy, and you have to help each other out, learn to work in a group, and then to benefit the class. And I think that's the biggest change in education I've seen over the years, is a shift from content to skills.
Yeah.
What do you do here as a vice president? No, principal at Union.
What do I do
as a president?
As a president, yeah. What would I do as a president? Huh? That's a little bit of everything. You know, unfortunately, it's a lot of discipline. Of course, there's a lot of that, but helping with teacher going to teacher meetings and helping them, supporting them, how we can help with their content area, classroom behavior, meeting with counselors, helping them do support their kids. We have a lot of like committees that meet after school. So there's like the social emotional learning team. There's the building leadership team, the school achievement committee. There's student support team. There's the multi-tiered system of support group. There's just a lot of committees to, you know, talk about what needs to change, what we need to do better, and then, you know, implementing those plans. So it's there's a lot going on, and having a great staff as we do makes it a lot easier, because, you know, administrators can't do it all themselves. So having a great team around us makes a huge difference.
I would say one sad thing is students are kind of scared of their administrators.
Yes. And it's true. I mean, I know I don't, hopefully.
I don't mean that in the bad way, by the way.
It's not a great thing, but
I think students need to realize that there's a connection to be made.
Yeah.
And that they're humans too. They're cool. They're not just here to govern you. They're actually here to.
Yes.
Hang out with you and have fun.
That's why I went into education. It's the hang out, and I love joking with the junior high kids. I think it's a fun group, and but yeah, we do have that scary reputation, which sometimes comes in handy. But
well, and I've really loved what y'all have done. Typically, you get a note from admin, and everyone's like, "Ooh, you're in trouble," and y'all have been pulling down kids for achievements, for doing good things. And so now it's not always a bad thing when you see that slip calling you to admin.
A green slip.
Yeah. Now it's not necessarily a bad thing, mm-hmm. unless you know you did something wrong. Yeah. But it could be you're getting recognized.
Absolutely. And I love that too. I wish I could spend even more time with those kids who are rewarding and recognizing. I do. And I love that we get to do that, because there are a lot of those kids that I'm calling down. I don't know. Like, I've never maybe even seen them before. I definitely don't know their names. And I get to do a quick check-in and meet those kids who are never in my office for any, you know, kind of disciplinary reason. So I love doing that.
I think it's cool that you guys have put that type of effort into that, and it's different from the, I would say, stereotype of middle school.
Do you have a favorite grade?
Absolutely.
Oh, shoot.
No. I mean, it depends.
Eighth graders are the worst.
No, I don't. I think, no.
Thank you, Mr. S.
It's fun to see them, you know, because sixth graders come in as pretty much elementary students, right, at the beginning of the year, and it's fun to watch them become junior high students throughout the year, and then eighth graders start out as being like, oh, I'm the king of the school and this is great. And then by the end of the year, they're just ready for high school. And so they were like, just get me out of here. I want to be gone. So anyway, no, I don't have I taught seventh grade for a long time. So that's a great age, but no favorites.
Favorite subject?
I loved math. Math was definitely my favorite, without a doubt. And I didn't like history at all. I'm sorry, Mr.
It's okay.
But now when I walk into history classes to get a student or whatever, I'm listening to the teacher and I'm like, oh, now I like history. Like, now I want to learn about it. Now that I, you know, as you get older, you have more of appreciation for that. So now I would, if I were to have to take a class, I would want to take a history class, but...
That's a common theme. You don't like history as when you're younger because it's like, oh, this is so boring.
Bunch of old people.
And then you get older and you're like, okay, that's cool. Yeah. Like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually like history, so.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Do you have a favorite math equation?
Oh, my God. I mean, I use Pythagorean theorem quite a bit in my life, actually. But no, I loved algebra, geometry. I just like how there's one right answer in math because in so many different areas in life, there's like, oh, well, you could do this, but then this happens, or you could do the other thing, but then this is the result. And in math, it's just straight. You know you got the right answer, and that's the right answer, and done.
You go.
And moving on. So, and it was just kind of like doing a puzzle each time. So,
heck yeah. Well, how can parents reach out to you?
Email me. That's probably the most efficient way. Call the front office. They can transfer you to leave a message. But I really don't answer my phone during the day at all. I just don't have the time to do that. It's a little bit more efficient to shoot me an email. So I'm pretty good at that. I respond usually the same day, within 24 hours anyway. So. Yep, reach out to me. I love to hear from parents. I think this community has been great. Great support on, you know, when I call home for whatever reason, the parents have been amazing. So reach out to me anytime.
Well, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.
We're going to do the question of the day.
And a crazy story. So
you
should think of one.
Me think of a crazy story? A
crazy story that you can tell.
Well, that really narrows
it down. Yeah, yeah.
We'll give you some time as we do the question.
Yeah, we're going to do the question. Again, reminder, come to me, come to my room. Y'all should know where it is by now.
And we actually have a new reward for you guys.
Oh, okay.
We'll now be getting a paw card pack.
Okay.
So the first three will get one paw card.
So this is only going to be a two, so it's going to have to be two.
Oh, two? This week, yeah, two?
Yeah,
this is
this week. So there are only two correct answers. Okay. I decided, typically I do history. Everything's a history, but I'm going to throw in some baseball.
This is history.
Because it's baseball season.
Go Cubs.
Okay. Go Cubs. Go Yankees. I know. Either hate them or you love them. So I thought of this. One of the answers is one of my favorite players of all time. Never got to see him play. He was way before my time. But so my question for you. So if... There are two answers. If someone comes and tells me the first answer, then that answer is off the table. You need to tell me the second correct answer, okay? So we're going to talk about history of baseball. Baseball has two leagues, the American League and the National League. So the question is, who was the first African-American player to break the color barrier in the National League? And who was the first African-American player to break the color barrier in the American League? And I'll briefly give you the teams. Okay. So for the National League, this one is the more well-known. This is one of my favorite players. This guy broke the color barrier for the Brooklyn Dodgers and won the Rookie of the Year in 1947. So there's the hint. Okay. The other one came a year or two after, played for now the team's known as the Cleveland Guardians, but they were the Cleveland Indians at the time. And he has one of the smoothest swings I have ever seen. So there's your question of the week. If someone comes and tells me who broke the color barrier for the National League, the next person has to tell me American League.
Yep, and you will also get the paw card pack.
Yep.
And you can't enter both.
Nope.
So, yeah. This is your chance of getting a free paw card pack, as I know lots of you want a pack, as you want to use the benefits, and they're fun to collect.
Yep. Okay. You figure out a...
Not at all. I had no idea what a
crazy story.
There's a lot of really inappropriate stories that, you know, I can laugh at, you know, but there's just a lot of FERPA, which is a privacy act. I don't want to, you know, throw anybody under the bus. It's, I would like to write a book, you know, for when I retire, I'm going to start writing notes of just the daily things that happen every day and just share all truths in this book and not exaggerate anything. And I think everybody that read that book would just be blown away of this really happens on a day. Things like this really happen every day in a junior high.
I have a book in my desk called My Book of Secrets.
Yeah.
And it's all the quotes or things that I've seen so far in teaching. I'm just like, that book should never see the light of day from other people. Yeah. And it's just like, people would never believe some of the things that are said or seen.
Yep. True.
So,
well, thank you for listening to this week's episode. We will see you next week with Miss Morley and Miss Graham.